Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com and our study of Ephesians chapter 3 verses 16 through 19 titled The Inner Man. This is a two-part study and of course is part of our ongoing expository study of the entire epistle of Paul to the local church in the Greek city of Ephesus. And you can hear these and all of our studies at bbfohioradio.com, which is our 24/7 internet radio station. And you can also find these studies as YouTube or sermon audio uploads at bbfohio.com. And as always, we make these studies available free of charge, but we do want to thank those of you supporting this ministry financially as well as with your prayers and by helping us spread the word about this ministry. Tell your loved ones, post links to our messages on your social media sites. Feel free to download, copy, and distribute these messages free of charge. We just ask that you don't charge. And if you'd like to write with questions, comments, or your own prayer requests, you may do so by sending your email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's 3 B's, the letter B as in Bob, bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. If you send it to Pastor Greg Miller, if you send it to Bible Believers Fellowship, along with P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. We'll get those within a day or two of receipt and try to respond quickly. Please note that the first few minutes of our study comes from our lower quality live stream feed. Due to some camera issues that we had, we don't pick up with the better quality video and audio until around the 10-minute mark. We apologize for any inconvenience. We now begin our study of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. This study is titled The Inner Man, and this is part 1.
All right,
two.
Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 19, and we're getting a little late start, but
we're sorry.
So I want to jump right in here and get started. I don't know who's out there in the kitchen, but we'll open with a word of prayer. And get into our study. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we just ask, Lord, that you help us to really focus on your word. We enjoy everything about coming together, singing, and praying, and fellowship, and the cake.
But amen.
Our main reason for coming together is to open this book, amen, have this the word of God preached and taught. And Lord, I pray you help me this morning. And help everyone here to listen and to learn. And with each passing day, each passing week, we should become more familiar with that book and our lives be changed. And just ask, Lord, to help everyone to have that perspective as we continue to study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 16 to 19. As you're getting your Bibles open and situated, we're going to remind you that Paul has said that he bows his knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole heaven and earth, whole family in heaven and earth is named. If you missed that message, it's online. Go to bbfohio.com. And you'll find these messages. And then if you go to bbfohioradio.com, you'll eventually hear it. That's our 24/7 radio station. So, with that in mind, Paul says he bows his knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
amen,
of whom the whole heaven, family in heaven and earth is named, desiring this. Read verse 16.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man,
that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge.
that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I want to start off with another warning. Last week we did the same thing of another new version perversion. We want people to understand that we use and believe only the King James Bible.
Amen.
For
Amen.
A reason. We're not just, you know, picking teams and saying, oh, I like my King James. I like those these and thous and barleys. That's what I like. Because I think that's how God would talk. I have news for you. He probably, if he's going to talk, he's not going to speak the King's English. He's probably speaking Hebrew.
There you go.
That's my opinion. But in English, I'm not talking about any other language. I don't read those other languages. I can't tell you one way or the other. But in English, we hold to the King James Bible because the new versions have been perverted.
Amen.
And we show you these examples. And we just read Ephesians 3:16 that says, by His Spirit in an inner man.
Oh my.
Well, the two big ones is the NIV, and then this other one that's come out and become kind of the darling new version, and that's the ESV. And in this verse, they change it to, through His Spirit in your inner being. Now, why the change? Gender-neutral translation. They want to make everything gender-neutral. Now, listen. A lot of these guys will say, we like the new versions because we believe you should translate the Greek text more literally and correctly than what we believe the King James has been. Number one, that's a bogus claim against the King James.
Amen.
Number two, in the Greek language text, no matter what one you look at, it's the word for man.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
So they have changed the Bible to match their opinion.
Yeah.
In the very translation itself, they're bowing down to this godless feminist movement.
Yep.
Now, I want to make this clear. We don't have time to go through history or anything like that. But I want to tell you something. Feminism is killing America.
Amen. Yep. Yes.
Amen.
Feminism is what's killing families right now.
Amen. Right.
Women who don't want to be wives, don't want to be mothers, and don't want men in the home providing leadership.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what's killing America. I was telling you, we were talking about this earlier today. We've had a couple people come here. And I could go through 30 years of ministry. Women who would come into church and pray and say, pray for my husband. My husband, he's not saved, or he's saved. He don't want to come to church. And then when he does come to church, what do? They don't like it because he starts to want to lead the family.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Now, I grant you that some men play games and all that. But I'm saying there have been times where men really do get saved, really start to want to lead the family, really start to do the right thing, and their wives don't want male leadership in the home.
Yeah.
And Thomas and I were talking about the matriarchy thing that's going on in so many families today. And I know I'm going to tell you, we have people of different races here. We have different races watching. I'm not a black guy, but I'm going to speak the truth about what's going on in black, white, Hispanic culture, whatever culture you're talking about. And in black America today, there is a lack of male headship and leadership.
Yeah.
And it's not always the man's fault. A lot of times it is the woman. I know people, women, who go to a church where there's a woman pastor and the women run everything. And when a man stands up to try to lead biblically, they run him off.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen with my own eyes.
Yeah.
What's going on down in redneck southern Ohio where I was raised? All the white women down there are now raising their families because the white men are on meth and heroin. Yeah.
That's right.
And one of the things that has infected even homes where there's a man in the home is this feminist movement. And now in church, I'm going to tell you something. What I'm preaching right now would not even be put up with in most churches today.
Yeah, that's right.
Because what we're supposed to do as pastors isn't to preach the truth. We're supposed to preach what everybody's itching ears want to hear.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we should say, oh, I think it's okay. You know, the woman's the head of the home. And I think it's okay if those women pastors. That's okay. Even though God said that you would not have the woman to usurp her authority over the man.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So what are we going to go with? Are we going to go with God's word, or are we going to go with the godless feminist movement?
Amen.
There you go. That's right.
They hate Jesus.
And I'm going to tell you, I could go on now to make any woman who is offended by what I said right now, I could make you feel better by going on and on and apologizing and telling you how wonderful women really can be, and they can be, but I'm not going to do that.
Amen.
Because what you ought to be able to do is hear the truth and not always have to have disclaimers.
Amen.
Amen.
In this country, if a man in his home or in the church stands up and preaches the truth, he's got to apologize to everybody.
Right, right.
That's right.
And you don't think the homosexual and the sodomite movement has anything to do with feminism, you're wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The feminist movement is led by mostly lesbians.
That's right.
Wow. Sodomites.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't just want to have their rights. They want to completely, as our president would say, fundamentally transform America.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right.
Sure.
And they're fundamentally transforming America and turning it into a hellhole.
Amen.
And the only way for us as a nation,
amen, brother,
to get away from the destruction where we're heading is to get back to the Bible.
Amen.
And what's revival going to look like? Let me tell you what revival isn't going to look like.
Man,
this is not revival.
Let me help you, Pastor. Up.
I made it.
Hold on. Have to try it again.
That's not revival. Let me tell you something else revival isn't going to look like. It's not going to look like preachers wearing more expensive suits driving limos.
That's it.
None of this stuff, this fake charismatic revival in this country and around the world today is not revival.
That's right.
Revival is when men start acting like men again. And when women start acting like women again.
Amen.
And when children start to respect their parents again.
Amen.
And then the parents respect the teachers enough to back them up when their kids cause trouble in school. And they back up the teacher and don't threaten the teacher's job.
That's, right.
That's when you're going to see revival in America again.
That's right.
Now let's all hold our breath. Because people won't listen to this.
Nope.
You put this on the radio, on TV, and you know it's easy for them to do. Click.
That's it.
There's coming a day when they're going to stand before God and they're not going to be able to change the channel.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
A sign of apostasy. And if you got your Bible with you here this morning, I want you to mark this verse in your Bible. This is a sign of apostasy. What do I mean by apostasy? I mean that it's called the falling away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign of apostasy when churches and countries even fall into error. Isaiah 3:12. Is everything all right back there?
Yeah, they're helping somebody.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
Bring him in.
Bring him in. Isaiah 3:12. It begins with this. Read it with me. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Did you see that? I want you to look real hard at that. That's what America is described right there, and that's apostasy.
That's right.
Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. I mean, today, a parent tries to discipline their children, or a teacher, have mercy, a teacher tried to discipline a child, and the child would be the one to threaten to call children's services on them.
Yeah.
And so today, the children are telling the adults what to do.
Yeah.
children are their oppressors. And it's the young people who are destroying the constitutional republic we live in America today. It's the young people that the socialist policies, the socialist politicians get a hold of, get all their votes, so that then they, once elected, can destroy what freedom we have in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's what's going on. That's why there's this huge push. And let me tell you something, an honest politician would never do this. There's a huge push to get all the college kids to vote. They know that those kids don't know what is which way's up.
That's right.
They don't care that they're getting college kids to vote based on ignorance.
Emotion.
They want the votes, and they don't care how they get them. And so that's what they're doing. And women rule over them. Now, this isn't just Hillary. But if Hillary's elected, that's an example of what I'm talking about right there. A woman who stands for taking a baby in the womb of her mother. And I apologize if I offend the little ones, but they need to understand this. Their country takes little babies and chops them to pieces in the womb.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And they throw those babies into a garbage pail.
Yep.
I don't care whether you're a Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent. I'll never vote for you if you're that kind of trash to do that to babies in the womb.
Amen.
Then they take sodomites and take pair them off and call that marriage. It's wicked. It's blasphemy. Anybody who stands for that should not be a leader in this country.
Amen.
Amen.
Then you take all the other programs of socialism and everything else. Women rule over them. It continues and says this, "O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." That's talking about the useless preachers in this country.
Amen.
That was talking about the useless preachers and prophets of Israel. And it's talking about any country where the preachers will not preach the truth.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
And much more could be said, but the perversion in the new versions is obvious for anyone who cares about God's words. That they take that man and change it to being. You're seeing the fingerprints of apostasy. And it's this, it's based on the feminist movement, not on God's word.
Right.
Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. If what I just showed you right now, if you're holding an ESV and an NIV, and what I just showed you right now doesn't cause you to want to spit on that book and burn it, you're lost.
Amen, brother.
There's something wrong with your spirit when you can see devil's people with their fingerprints on God's word and changing that book that way, and that doesn't bother you. You've got a satanic spirit in you.
That's right.
We should love God's word too much to allow that to happen.
Amen.
And professing evangelicals, that's who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the devil's crowd. I'm talking about the people who call themselves evangelicals.
Right.
They're the ones funding this and buying this trash called Bibles. You want to see revival? There'll be a huge book burning. And it won't be Playboy. It'll be ESVs and NIVs being burned.
Amen.
That's when you know there'll be revival in America.
Amen.
Ironically, this segues right into the first point. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his what?
Spirit.
In the inner man. Now, how does he do this? The riches of his glory. It sounds really, you know, wild and heavenly and all that, but it's real simple. The riches of his glory he has given to you in a tangible form.
Amen.
In the Word of God.
Amen.
And you can access God by simply talking to him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
But if you've got that nasty worldly spirit in you, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Amen.
So what do? You go seeking it in the circuses, the clown shows. Yeah, that's what most people are doing today. They're seeking the riches of his glory in riches. He's not talking about your bank account.
Amen.
He's not talking about some heavenly bank account. The riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. I want to spend a few minutes on this. But this is how most people envision the battle of the inner man. This is what people think. It's just, you know, me, I'm a good person. And I just need to, you know, I need to tap into that inner good person. And I've got this good person in me. But then a lot of people, they've watched too many cartoons. This is what they think it's the inner battle. Let me tell you, that's not the battle.
No.
You don't have little angels on your shoulder arguing in your ear. That's not how it works. The battle is actually just you versus your sinful nature.
Amen.
I know we've gone over this before, and a lot of you might be used to this, especially those watching online. You've been used to your preacher standing up here and saying, "You know what? You're just wonderful the way you are. You're just, God loves you the way you are. You're beautiful. You're wonderful." They're a liar.
Amen. Romans 3, baby.
And I'm not saying you need to listen. I'm saying all of us need to listen.
Amen.
We all have a sinful nature in us.
Amen.
We've all got a problem.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning, you can start off your day by confronting your problem. When you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror,
yeah. Amen.
There's your problem.
Amen. That's it.
God loves you so much, He will not allow you to stay the way you are.
Amen.
You understand that?
Yep.
See, what? Just think about the lies that's being preached out there.
Yeah.
God loves you just the way you are. It's a lie of the devil.
Amen.
But you know why it's so popular? It's because that's what everybody wants to hear. They don't want to be told, listen, you need to understand something. In the world today, it's like one of those movie trailers.
Oh, yeah.
There is wickedness incarnate. Wickedness at a level that you yourself cannot overcome. You must have the help of Almighty God. And that wickedness is you.
Amen.
Was that that was pretty good movie trailer voice, wasn't it?
That was good.
Hey, look, you know, if your doctor knows you've got cancer, but he comes and says, don't worry about it. Nah, everything looks great. You just be positive and go home and, you know, eat your veggies. You'll be fine. You might leave the doctor's office real happy that day. But then down the road, you're going to die.
Yeah.
So most people look for preachers who say, "You're just wonderful the way you are. God loves you just the way you are." Look at your neighbor and say, "I love me." Yeah, you two can get by that. And you walk out of here just as happy as can be, not really realizing you do have a cancer inside of you called a sinful nature. And if you don't know it's there and you don't fight against it, you lose.
That's right.
I'm not surprised when Christians fall flat on their face, and preachers even, I'm not surprised when they just fall flat on their face and end up destroying their ministry. What I'm surprised about is it don't happen more often.
Yeah.
Because if you believe that gobbledygook that's been preached out there, and you're not really doing battle, you're going to lose. The battleground is the inner man.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Paul said it was his desire that they would have their inner man strengthened by God and by His Spirit. For I know, this is Romans 7, 18, in the Epistle to the Church of Rome. Same author, humanly speaking, and same author, divinely speaking. Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Amen.
How can a preacher with a conscience stand up and tell everybody week after week that they're wonderful the way they are? When the Bible says you better look out. You got a problem and it's you.
There you go.
The way to deal with the problem isn't to pretend you don't have a problem. In me dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not.
Yep.
And some of you, this is a rerun, but I just cannot get over how often I see this on the internet. Follow your heart.
Follow straight to hell.
I want to jump in there and say, the God says.
There you go.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Think about those words. The heart is deceitful above all things. That's you and your heart. The very fact that you choose to listen to those liars is just another example of you being deceived by your heart.
Amen.
Your heart wants to think that what they're saying is true, so you choose to follow them. Jesus talked about them as blind guides.
Yep.
And if you follow them, you'll both fall in the ditch.
Yep.
That's the way it is.
That's why you don't live the life of Legion. Sorry.
That's why, I mean, Jesus used that example because it's real. You don't, you know, put Martha in the driver's seat and just let her start driving. Why don't you do that? Because Martha's skill is not being able to see where she's going.
Right.
A teacher who is blind spiritually would do the same thing. It would be a car wreck.
Right.
Now, there are other things that she can do better than you. Amen? And I know this sounds like a strange segue, but there's a lot of preachers who should take that lesson and go find a real job.
Hallelujah.
Because there's some things that they shouldn't be doing. That is where the real battle is waged. And it's by His Spirit in the inner man. It's not just you saying, all right, I get it, preacher, and tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do better. I'm going to be good. And I'm going to do good for everybody. I'm going to smile at everybody. I'm going to be good. Sorry, choking myself up here. It's not by our own strength. It's by His Spirit in the inner man.
Amen.
The inner man will not be strengthened by corrupt Bible versions, as we mentioned.
That's it.
People say, you don't think someone can be saved using NIV? No, I didn't say that. You can be saved and be stupid.
Yeah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I've been stupid and I'm saved. So I'm not saying you can't do foolish things and not and that means you're not saved. We'd all be damned. But you will not be strengthened. Hey, again, just go do your own research. Go out and look it up. First of all, if you don't recognize the apostasy going on around the world in America today, get your head out of the sand. Then you ask yourself why. Just go do the research. Just type in the word USA Today Bible Readers. That's just one example of a story you'll see where they went out and did the research and found that of all the people who do read the Bible, 80% of them have a King James Bible. Only 20% of the people who, we're talking read their Bible like once a week. We're not even talking about dedicated daily Bible readers here. And out of people who just read it once a week, less than 20% of them read a new version.
Yep.
But the majority of people today are buying new versions.